Morning, Glenn.
Morning.
Great. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us Finance Committee meeting via Zoom video today, Thursday, April 22nd, 2021, 11 to noon. In attendance, we have Jeff Leake, Richard Porth, our CFO, Glenn Hill, and our STEAM administrative executive, whatever you want to call yourself these days, Jen.
It works fine.
It's fine with me helping us out and recording the meeting. So with that said, I will turn over the meeting to Glenn.
Okay, thank you, Agnes. Good morning, everyone. Sent out the materials late last night. My apologies for that. Lost my internet service for a few hours yesterday with the thunderstorms. A pretty brief agenda. I mean, basically an update on the status of the finances of the agency through the end of February. And then compensation adjustment proposal. I worked with Ingrid to put together the proposal that she wants to run by this group and then by the board. And then just a quick update on, you know, where the agency stands on the state audit that's underway for 19 and 20. So if there's no questions on the agenda, I can start with the financial statements and we can start with the balance sheet. So first up, balance sheet as of February 28th, 2021. The agency is in a very good position. As you'll see, there's over $3 million in cash. So the agency is highly liquid and well-funded at the moment. So in a very good position as far as that goes. Accounts receivable, there is $860,000 outstanding, the bulk of which $720,000 is pending from CSDE. And that's just a normal lag in billing of arrears expenditures. The remainder of the balance, there are some large contracts with some of the other school districts. So those are direct contracts. So there's $40,000 with Waterbury, $50,000 with Wyndham, 12 with New Britain, 11 with Weathersford. So the in-district contracts are really rolling in. And we can get into that when we look at the revenue and expense statement and we can see where we stand in more detail as far as that goes. So the items that are outstanding as far as receivable, they're all collectible. There's no areas of concern. And as this group knows, every year I've been going through and doing a cleanup and we've been writing off anything that was deemed uncollectible. And those have always been small balances. So I don't think there's any exposure, any concerns in the receivables. So I think you're in a good position there as well. Due from the foundation, that's just minor ancillary transactions. So that totals about $6,000. Prepaid expenses, small balance of $12,000. That's paid in advance. That'll get recognized at a later point. Capital assets, those are just, you know, the furniture, equipment, computers, the standard office equipment being, you know, depreciated and amortized every year. So nothing out of the ordinary there. Total assets are over $4 million, $4.2 million. So I don't know if there's any questions on the asset side.
Looking pretty strong, I agree. Nice, strong,
Yeah, very healthy balance sheet. So then flip side on the liability side, accounts payable, $76,000. That's just normal vendor commitments, nothing out of the norm there, just minor miscellaneous balances that add up to what's pending at the close of the month. Accrued payroll and related liabilities, $233,000. Of that, $130,000 is one payroll cycle that was pending at the end of the month. Then there's, you know, benefit liabilities of $20,000 for some of the benefits, the health and dental and things like that. And then accrued vacation time of about $90,000. So once again, all standard, normal operational items, nothing to be concerned about at all. Next line item, accrued expenses, just shy of $2,000. And that's just a small balance that's due to one vendor that will probably get recognized within the next month or so and be paid out. Due to funding sources, just over $1.2 million. Those are balances that CERC collected on in the prior fiscal year, but did not execute. So there's $952,000 that's rollover eligible for IDEA. The negotiations have been going on for months with CSDE, but we have not gotten the approval to roll it over. And my only concern is now it's April and the year ends in 2 months and we haven't rolled over the money from the previous year. Right. But needless to say, it's been painful at times getting, you know, decisions from CSDE, especially their fiscal group. So that's been lagging. There's also $232,000 for the SETG, the school climate. Mm-hmm. It's committed. We just don't have the formal sign off. So we've been spending the money and so on, but the formality hasn't dropped into place yet, the signed approval. So once that signature comes through, then that $232,000 will roll over. So those are the two balances.
Glenn, yeah, if I, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Richard.
You sure?
Yeah.
Glenn, just a quick question. Do you have any concern that the Department of Education won't approve the carryover in the next couple of months? Is there some particular issue or is it just general slowness?
General slowness. And I think, honestly, I think they're overwhelmed because I think at the moment they have too much money because they keep getting this federal money dumped on them for other activities. And so, for example, we have this project we took on a few weeks ago, the non-public school initiative, where now the CSDE got money from the federal government, but now they're supposed to allocate it to the non-public schools, sort of private and parochial schools and so on and so forth. So that was a whole initiative that was never planned for, that was dumped on them. And then they engaged us to work on it. So we've been working with them, but that's another $15 million that they don't know what to spend it on. So it's kind of every time they turn around, they have another pile of money that they're trying to figure out what to do with. But based on the discussions with Stephen Prophet and his discussions with CSDE, they have a plan for this $940,000. It's just a matter of them just getting all their ducks in a row, signing off on it and getting it going, because it's a pretty short-term plan. It's a matter of a few weeks to kind of divvy up the money and allocate it to other groups or other initiatives. So it would kind of come in and go out relatively quickly. It's just the formalities, I guess, the internal bureaucracy or whatever's going on there. And I guess, you know, there's changes with, you know, losing the commissioner and other things. So I guess there's a lot of upheaval and it's just been really chaotic on our end because we're constantly waiting. And, you know, so, watching the calendar tick away.
Yeah. So on that note, Glenn, if I may, could you send me a quick email after we're done here with those two items, simply because I'm having a meeting with Angry tomorrow to talk about our agenda. And I want to make sure that I don't lose sight of that, because we need to get with Commissioner, Acting Commissioner Russell Tucker to get this resolved in a very quick, you know, very, very quickly. So I think we just need to make her aware that this is so, sort of like sitting there and that we had been patiently waiting for payment, you know, to the SDE's defense, partial defense. I had been recruited to be a new manager for SR2 money. So, and it's the same thing, you know, it's just more money coming in now and then more money coming in now. And, but the clock is ticking because the Fed's, you know, set up an accountability window of 60 days that we have to come up with a plan to let them know how these monies are going to be spent. So anyway, and then it's complicated, but nonetheless, our issues are important. We had been patiently waiting for this approval and payments to take place. So I want to make sure that happens.
Yeah. Just so clarity. I mean, this is money actually we have. So it's not where we're not waiting on a payment. This is money we got last fiscal year.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, we're just waiting on the okay to whatever project they want us to enact and spend it on. Because like I said, now we're going to come to the end of another fiscal year.
Yeah.
And we didn't even roll it over from the prior. So that's just my concern. You know, and technically with some of these monies, especially IDA's federal money, there's parameters that you're supposed to either use it or return it by a certain date. And we're beyond those dates at this point. You know what I mean? Like, We're going on a year of not having executed or returned the money. So
we need to do that.
Yep.
That needs to happen. So if you can, you know, I would appreciate if you could shoot it over to me to make thank
you. I'll send you an email with the details.
Beautiful. Thank you, Glenn.
Okay. Yep, no problem. So I mean that wraps up the liabilities. So there's total liabilities of 1.5 and then total net assets of 2.6. So liabilities and net assets, 4.2, which mirror the assets, hence the term, the balance sheet. So they balance. Like I said, once again, it's a strong balance sheet. The agency is in a healthy position at the moment. And, you know, I don't have any concerns or areas of caution that I would raise a flag on at the moment, other than what we just talked about with that pending balance.
Great. Thank you for that, Glenn.
Okay. So if there's no other questions on the balance sheet, we can move on to the revenue and expense. All right, so revenue expense through the end of February, usual four column format. First column is the original budget. Committed funds are what we have either signed contracts or definitive commitments on to date. Then the variance between what's been committed and what was originally budgeted. And then last column is what's actually been executed and collected in-house. So the original total revenue was 6.8 million budget. We have commitments of just over 8 million. So there's a positive variance of 1.2 million. The primary driver of that is on the federal money. So, you know, we took on some additional activities. So there was some RESC project that was a large commitment. So that makes up the bulk of that $1 million variance on the federal side. So year to date, we have 4 million in-house. So we're tracking well against what's been committed since, you know, this is through February and you still have 3 or 4 months left to get to the end of the year. You're on track to get to what you budgeted plus more. State contracts, there's $100,000 and that was for the curriculum work. And once again, it's been going on for months, the commitment of getting that actual money. We've been getting all kinds of different answers. You know, we collected 200,000 of the 300,000 last year. We were supposed to collect the other 100,000 this year. Once again, we can't get any formal approval on the 100, but we're continuing to do the work. So we're hoping that that 100,000 comes through before the end of the year.
Please so, add that to the list, Glenn.
Sure. Yep. All right, I'll add that too.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Private contracts, the bulk of that is the DMIS work for the opioid activity. Mm-hmm. And we've collected 664 of that to date, and that we get paid quarterly, whether we've done the work or not. So that money actually we have in advance and we still have an obligation to do some of that work. So we're in a good position there. And then outside of that is just other miscellaneous small contracts that add up to the other 100,000 or so. In district contracts is a very bright spot. You know, we went very conservative with a $40,000 budget, not knowing what was going to happen with the pandemic and everything else when we were doing the budget last spring. So we have commitments of almost 300,000 at this point and collected, you know, or billed on that to date. So just shy of 300,000. And as I've talked about in the past, this is very important money for the agency because it's not grant money. So this is money that gives us the flexibility to do with it what we will. So if there's a surplus on that money, that's money you can push into your reserve fund, or that's money you could use for discretionary activities or, you know, overhead or relocation or anything you want to use it for. There's no restrictions on it. So that's a very good sign. And it's also a good sign that the districts have bounced back, because last year during the shutdown happened, they all pulled back, canceled all their trainings and professional development commitments with us. So the virtual transition has worked well. The programs team and the support in-house at CERC has done a great job.
You're cutting out a little, Glenn.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, I'm fine.
Maybe I think it's you, Jen, because your picture is jumpy.
Yeah, you're right. And now you froze, Jen.
Okay, maybe.
Now you're going, Jen.
Yeah, I think it's your connection, Jen. So anyway, I'll just keep going. Hopefully the recording's working.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like I said, it's bounced back. We've pivoted well to virtual and the commitments are picked up. And then especially the racial equity work and all that has really ramped up as well. And most of those contracts fall under the in-district as well. So that's also been a big boost. And I think looking forward into the next fiscal year, I think that's going to continue on that upward trajectory and there's going to be some solid growth there as well. So total revenue to date in-house, $5 million. So we're tracking really well with a few months to go. On the expense side, First up, you know, salaries, benefits, the normal operating costs. We're tracking well against our budget. We have $2 million in salaries, $5 million in benefits, and we're tracking, you know, according to our budget at the moment. Contracted services, there's a huge variance there. It was originally budgeted at 85. We're at 827,000. And that's really the pivot by CSDE, because when we get down below to program expenses were budgeted at 1,000,003. We're only at 200,000 and change to date, because the whole format of in-person training and all those original things that were built into that CSDE budget, you know, naturally have not happened over the past year. And so they've pivoted and they've pushed us to do things more remotely or engage more with outside contractors to facilitate a lot of these virtual trainings and things like that. So this is a known variance. It was a plan for variance. We submitted it, a revised budget. We worked with CSDE and they've approved it. So we do have documentation approving these allocations. So that's fine. There's no issues there. The rest of the expenses, the way down, everything is tracking under budget according to plan. And you'll see there's various items that have no money spent, like travel. There's nothing spent because no one has traveled in the agency for the year. So there's no offsite meetings or in-person events or anything like that. And then down towards the bottom, relocation costs, we were carrying 275,000. That relocation did not happen yet again. My understanding, talking with Van and Michelle and Ingrid, that it's actually moving forward. So there is progress at the moment. So I think the expectation is probably early next fiscal year, a relocation will actually take place. So, you know, we'll just carry that into the next budget. So that's why that's a zero again. So total operating to date is 3.7. Budget is 5.4. Mm-hmm. Program, like I said earlier, is 1.3 budget. We only spent 273. So total expenditures of 3.9 versus a 6.8. So we're tracking under on the expenditure side as well. So through February, it looks like $1 million surplus. But, you know, there are some areas like Bemis. We have a lot of money front loaded there where we've collected the revenue, but there's expenditures that are still going to come in house and chip away at that surplus. But that in-district money coming in, that $295,000, a lot of that falls to the bottom line because the only allocation there is staff time. There's no real hard costs, especially today with everything being virtual. So actually virtual world is actually more profitable for CERC because of those hard costs, not of traveling and printing materials and, and those hard costs are not there. So it potentially a win there. So once again, revenue and expense statement, very healthy, looking good at the moment and tracking well against budget with only 3 or 4 months to go until the end of the fiscal year. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Okay. We're looking good.
Yep. So I'm looking good.
For now. We're looking good for now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as a previous fiscal year taught to everybody, you can't predict what's going to happen next week, next month, and next year. But I just think it's a testament to the agency's ability to adapt and pivot and adjust, you know, to a new environment. So agency is looking good from that perspective. The next item on the agenda is potential compensation adjustments. You know, this is something we want to address before we actually build the budget for next year, because as we just saw, the compensation is the biggest part of the operating expenses of the agency. So, you know, as we just looked at for that fiscal year, the budget was $3.7 million for salaries. The plan is to add several additional employees, as you'll see in that section right there, where it's number 43 to 50. So currently there are 42 employees on the roster of CERC. The idea is to add 8 more employees. Some of them are replacements for somebody who left. And then others are additional consultants to handle racial equity work. So there's 2 additional consultants for that. Then there's you know, a grant writing, curriculum development, distance learning, and then a project specialist replacement because the current project specialist took over the librarian position as the librarian is leaving. in May.
Okay.
So those are the reasons for the additional staff. Yep. Yes, Richard.
How many of those eight positions are replacements and how many are new?
Sure. Two of them are replacements. Mm. So the first one and the last one are replacements. So number 43 and number 50 are replacements. And then the rest are additional positions.
Okay, just a quick follow-up question.
Sure.
All well and good. I know just a few years ago, we had to reduce the number of positions, which was a fairly painful process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we pretty sure in recommending the addition of these new positions that there will be adequate funding for the foreseeable future? I mean, years out, not just months out.
Right. Well, that's the problem. Years out is difficult to predict. CSDE really commits a 1 year at a time. So, and we don't even have anything formal for 2022, but based on our initial budget drafting and discussions with them, they're saying at a minimum, it's going to be level funding with potential mm-hmm. increased funding for next year. And as you know, CSDE is the biggest contributor. So with that being level funding, and then with the in-district work, I said we're almost at 300,000 this fiscal year. And there is a lot of requests and things in the pipeline for additional in-district engagements going forward. Some of them are actually 1 or 2 year commitments. So there are some longer term commitments from the districts. So I think there's a bright spot there. But once again, you know, cannot guarantee anything. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen as far as the economy or anything else that may throw a curveball. I mean, I think the agency is in the best position with CSDE that it's been in many years and throughout just, you know, the state in general and the position, the reputation of the agency. I think the commitment is there. And I think, you know, I think it's a pretty solid commitment.
I just say real quick. So,
go ahead, Rich.
Super quick. To me, this discussion is a hopeful sign. It's another indicator of our rebound, so to speak. And I'm grateful for that and proud of that. I don't want to get up on a soapbox, but I would just ask that we always avoid hiring people when there's a good chance that we can't keep them employed for a reasonable length of time. It's the best way I can respond to that. I respect what you just said about not knowing for sure what the length of commitment of state funding. I've lived with that for years too, but hopefully, as a general policy, we'd be careful about hiring people without some sense that we can hold on to them for a while. I'll stop there.
What I was going to say in response to that, and thank you for that, Rich. I feel very similar to your to what you're saying here, and I'm thinking that maybe a way that we could, because you know the future is uncertain, and we don't know what. You know, the cat is going to bring tomorrow, that we do prioritize the movement of potentially hiring. I mean, I see that we already have two people that we have been working. I'm pretty certain that their work will continue. So we need a replacement for those two positions, which you said, number 43 and number 50, and that we give it some thought to the other positions in relationship to what work is coming, so we can gradually, if we can, add some staff as work comes in and there is a commitment long-term that we will be able to maintain those positions moving forward.
If I could, I'm going to pop in here because I extended my time on here.
I know you do. I'm watching and you're with you.
Until 11:30. I apologize. I am just double booking almost every single day right now. So my two cents is the same cautionary two cents as has been expressed here. As a As the labor guy here, I'm always concerned about, you know, telling people, yeah, you got a job, and then all of a sudden, no, you don't, which also brings me to the different salary schedules that are different salary thoughts that are here. I'll be blunt before I have to get off. I don't like zeros, never have, and I don't think it represents good thoughts for the employees and so forth, our staff. But I'm a little concerned about both the 2.5 and definitely the 3% in the place that we're in right now. This is really a discussion I think we need to have with the whole board. I don't know where you are, but I'm, again, I'm not happy with nothing, but I'm not sure that even 2.5 does the trick for me in terms of where we are and the uncertainty of where we are. Although, and I say to myself, yeah, but there's all this money coming in. We've just had this discussion. There's all this money coming in to do stuff, and I want to be ready for sure to do that. So for me, the priority would be saying, look, let's take a look at the staff that we need to do the work we have been asked to do, take care of that, and go as cautiously as we can. Maybe going nice and easy at the beginning of the year in terms of salary increases, something, but whatever, and then see how we are going along the way. I mean, that's for me where we are. I think in this place where we're at, and the scrutiny that organizations like ours is under right now, the somewhat generous salary thoughts here could put us into some trouble, I think, and I'm concerned about that. So again, I am so sorry that I need to leave, but I do.
Jeff, really quickly, Jeff, do you have an idea? Actually, you know, any general idea of contracts across the board for teachers? What has increase look like? Is it a 2, 3, 1?
Prorated. Right. In the teaching ranks, you know, the highest we're seeing are 3.5% increases. But that's also step increases. It's not just a additional salary increase. So to be honest with you, I think most teachers, quote unquote, at the top of the schedule are seeing 1, maybe 1.5% increases. And that's about it. But again, you know, I don't compare that to these folks, but I think that needs to be in our mm-hmm. thoughts.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. Because right now we got our contract and all of the state units contracts expire June 30th. So
I know you folks are in the middle of negotiations and I hear from Danny almost every week. So
right. So that's, you know, that's where we're at right now. So, and we really don't know, you know, what the CAT's going to bring in terms of our ability to put in a request that is going to be reasonable, you know? And so, all right. Thank you for that. I think that we can, you know, move in a way in which is, you got to go now. So we'll talk some more at the board meeting. Take care.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everyone's caution. I mean, I have some concern as well and some caution. I would advise as well. I agree. I think if you're going to hire that many new people, I think you prioritize, like you said, you hire the most needed first and then bring in the others as warranted. I don't think you make that commitment to all those additional positions day one of the new fiscal year. And I agree. I think the increase amounts, if you look at the federal government, I mean, the federal government's looking at like 1, 1.5 is really where the federal government is. Like if you look at the Social Security adjustment for the past year, it was 1.3. So, you know, I mean, what I can do is I could add another scenario in and do either a 1 or a 1.5, or, you know, we could drop the 3 and add in a 1, a 1.5 and a 2 or a 1, 2 and 2.5. I mean, we could change up the scenarios. This way you get a different picture to look at. And
that would be useful, Glenn, because I'll tell you right now, the UConn, their contract was 4 zeros. They went out, you know, they were the first ones to negotiate their contract, and that their workload was increased as well. So I think that to your point, something that we can justify you know, using the index. That's why I asked Jeff, you know, what the teachers were getting,
right?
What the Social Security index is. So maybe if, you know, provide other options, let's just be a little bit more modest, you know, maybe one and a half, we could defend that, because that's, you know, if you're at max, you get no step increase, 1.5 and then a 2. Right. And then just leave the 2.5 there just for food for thought. But three scenarios that are reasonably defendable. You know, the most difficult may be the 2.5%. And I can't tell you, because in my contract, my 5-year contract, the first 2 years we got 2 hard zeros. And the second year of our contract, the governor gave us a $2,000 sort of like bonus of some sort. And then we saw in years 4 and 5, a 3% increase. But over a 5-year window, you know, we went through some painful steps over here to try to get a little something at the end. So, but right now, I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm having a meeting. We're having our second negotiations meeting tomorrow afternoon. I may know more as to which direction CBAC, which is the, you know, coalition of all unions, are moving in terms of potentially what the ask would be. Because that's the big, you know, that's the big question mark right now.
Right.
You know, the money piece. So,
Yeah, so I could drop the 3, because I agree. I think the 3, you're never going to be able to rationalize a 3% increase. So I could drop that one, and then I could add in a 1 and a 1.5, or a 1.5 and a 2 to go against the 2.5. So, you know, we can drop in 2 other scenarios in between.
Sure.
Nothing sure. in the 2.5. So.
Okay. And also, you know, if we could scale up the impact of, you know, I definitely see that we need to replace the 2, because those are positions that we currently have.
Right.
So we're just replacing. So it doesn't have an impact on the budget. We already budgeted for those 2, you know, positions, but then figure out a gradual increase as work comes in, the impact that would have if we were to hire, you know, 2 people now. And then how much would that cost over time? And then, you know, in incremental, I mean, I don't know if I'm making myself clear,
but to demonstrate
something, you know, of that line. So we prioritize, and then, you know, collectively we can say, okay, this is what we're going to be needing come July 1, because new work is coming in from the department and other state agencies. So we definitely got to have 2 consultants to do the racial equity work. I feel a lot better if we get that $50 million grant that, you know, that we move to the next level.
Right.
Because that will give us, I think, a level of flexibility to hire people. And we could do that with those fundings. But right now, we don't know, you know, where we are. So, at least my priority would be the, you know, racial equity work, because that's growing.
Right.
By leaps and bounds. So that would be the next step to hire at least those 2.
Agnes, I just want to say I agree with you on everything you just said. So,
thank you, Rich. Appreciate it. Okay, great.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll circle back with Ingrid, let her know, you know, change in strategy. And then also, you know, at the board meeting, she could probably add a little bit more color around the various positions as to what the commitments are for funding them, and, you know, what her vision is for some of these positions. And also more accurate timing. So, you know, we built worst case scenario budget of everyone being here July 1. And, you know, so we can get into more details. And I agree, adjusting the scenarios to a little bit that are more digestible and easy to defend and sell to somebody outside if they were going to challenge the increases for existing staff. So we'll make some adjustments. I'll have a conversation with Ingrid. And, you know, we'll come up with a game plan for the board meeting, and then we'll get the overall board feedback on the approach as well next week.
Excellent.
Appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, Glenn. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
The remaining item on the budget was just the
audit.
The ongoing audit for 2019-2020. As you know, that audit typically takes many, many months. So the fiscal department's been responding to the requests and feeding the documentation to the auditor, but you know, it's a long process and it's ongoing, and you know, I don't see any end in sight at the moment. I mean, honestly, they have a lot of work still to do because there's a lot of selections and other things they haven't even done yet. So I would foresee that going on for a few more months. Discussed at the previous meeting, they seem to have a heavy focus on ethics and that approach this time. You know, we've had some discussions internally about ramping up communication pieces and reminders and other things internally just to refresh the staff mind about how ethics work and reporting and whistleblowing and all these things. So Michelle and Crystal, from the legal and HR perspective, are reviewing the various policies and procedures and looking at what's posted on the website and, you know, developing a game plan as to, you know, how to keep the staff abreast of how to handle matters such as that. In our supervisor meetings, the directors have discussed this issue as well. And same thing, you know, coming up with ideas of how to be proactive on this issue, because I'm sure there's gonna be some comment in the report. So it's better, as we discussed last time, to be proactive. So
yeah,
that's absolutely underway. So, but I mean, up to this point, there's really not much to report on the audit because they're just gathering information at this point. We're not getting any feedback. And so, but you know, it's moving along at the snail's pace that it typically moves at. So.
Okay. Looks like we're in good shape.
Yep. The only other thing, I mean, I'm sure you're all aware, this will be my last finance committee meeting with the agency, and I will be here next week for the board meeting. And then that will actually be my last day with CERC. Is the board meeting is where my tenure with CERC will end. So
we all shake our heads.
Yeah. Glenn, that's sad news for us because you've done a really fine job. And we're going to miss you. We're going to miss you.
You raised the bar. I mean, I was just, you know, sharing this earlier with somebody else that you raised the bar. And I don't, that's to me, that's the minimum that I would expect for your replacement to be. It's a big loss, a really big loss for CERC. You know that I've been very grateful to you ever since you joined. And I praised your skills because that is exactly what we needed in the chair of the CFO. I mean, it goes without saying, but I do get it. You know, gotta make some choices about what's best for you and your family. And I respect that. And, you know, I wish you nothing but the best, great success. And, you know, every once in a while, just drop in and say hi, you know. And I trust that you will leave us with a great replacement. You know, it's not nobody like you, but somebody almost like you, I'll take. Okay.
So you did amazing things for us, Glenn. Nope. You really,
Thank you. I appreciate all the kind words. And actually there's a lot more work to do. So, I mean, I'm not going to leave and say everything is done that needs to get done. There's definitely more policies and procedures that need to be formalized, approved by the board. There's more compliance work that needs to be done. There's, you know, some still old audit issues that I've been working to resolve. So, you know, I've tried to move us down the field and try and, you know, move the agency up from the fiscal perspective. And I was glad that financially the agency is in a much better place now than when I arrived. You know, in a liquid position, you have a good balance sheet, and, you know, the work that others have done as well, Ingrid and the rest of the team, with really reinforcing the relationship with CSD and elsewhere, has gone a long way as well to reestablish the agency. I've worked with Crystal and Ingrid to try and find a replacement. We've interviewed some people, but you know, it's going to take weeks. So there's not going to be somebody here next week when I leave, but I'm trying to leave as much in place to make it as easy as possible for someone else, as opposed to when I had to figure out everything when I walked in.
Because there was nothing. What you walked into. I know.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm trying to leave notes and files and other things to help somebody along. And, you know, like I said, I appreciate my time here. It's been great working with this committee and with the board, not to mention the staff of CERC. And it's been a great time. But, you know, when they say somebody makes you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was one of those situations where somebody made me an offer, and it was really, like you said, you got to do what you have to do for your family. It's going to change my life. My life is going to become a lot harder and more complicated and elsewhere. But, you know, it's a challenge that I think I need to take on. Absolutely. So
we were lucky to have you, Glenn. You came to us, like I said to Agnes earlier, everything happens for a reason. You came to us when we needed you the most, and you took us from one level to this fabulous place that we're at right now. And now that you've got us settled, it's like you almost can
go fly away,
maybe right. not worry. Yeah. And we're just really, really thankful. And we're going to miss you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
Big
it.
Time. Big
My
time.
Two cents, Glenn, I hope you feel proud of what you did with us. You helped us get through a really tough transition and a rough patch financially. And I hope you feel proud of that. And you also, in doing that, contributed to some really important work that yep. benefits mm-hmm. people all across the state. Mm-hmm. You were part of something that I hope you feel proud of.
No, I definitely do. But I just, like I said, I just don't want the agency to lose sight of, like, after I'm gone, there's, you got to maintain it, and you have to also keep moving it forward because there's still more work to be done. I'm not going to say that I did everything that needed to be done because, you know, just there's not enough hours in the day and there's not enough time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's all these curveballs, like nobody's foreseen the shutdown coming, the pandemic. And, right. you know, at that point, we didn't even know we were going to have money to make payroll like weren't last summer. So, you know, that was at a point where cash flow was almost down to nothing and we were scrambling. So, you know, things happen along the way that kind of slow you down or an additional obstacle. But I said, just keep that focus of maintaining and moving forward too, because there's more work to be done. So, yeah. But.
Well, you're appreciated. And, you know, we send you off with our best wishes for success. Yeah. And don't forget us. definitely, you know, if we have a question that we can an answer to, I mean, you consider some pro bono time that you can, you know, look away every once in a while, you know, it's a big loss for our agency. It really is.
I wish we were together so we could have a
group hug. A group hug. Yeah.
We're going to have to all have an individual piece of cake or something and a virtual hug.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ingrid has my cell number. And a couple other people on staff have my personal cell number. So I said, if there's really an issue and, you know, somebody needs to reach out, you know, of course I'll answer any questions, help you guys in any way I can, you know, so I'm still here.
Appreciate that very much. Really do.
Okay, great. And you know, I'll see you guys all next week too. I'll be on the call on Tuesday.
All right. So, awesome. Talk to you then. Take care. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. See everybody Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you. You too.